Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
First Bank helps its customers stay on top of their credit. First Bank's Club Checking Account, for anyone who wants to stay on top of their credit and protect themselves against fraud. Now you know. First Bank is the way to go. First Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's talk about a grand slam over the right field wall. That must have felt really good.
Felt awesome. You know, I first got to give credit to my boys from home. They've kept me in shape all offseason. I told them I'd give them credit. So shout out to Jonesy, Rivers, Braden, and B-Dod. And, man, just to get that one over the wall here, especially in the – in front of the home crowd, feels really good. So, just like that win.
You guys just 10-run to Alabama. You just won the tournament out in Texas against some of the better teams in the country. How good is this team?
This team can be as good as they want. We talk about it a lot, not riding too high or too low. But, man, there's a lot of talent. I've played on a lot of baseball teams. This is one of the most talented, no doubt. But it's all about staying the course. You know, if you get too high or too low, everything that you've accomplished or everything that you've done can be taken away in a minute. It's most important to focus on that next game, and that's what we plan on doing the rest of the year.
Ben Higdon, everybody, after hitting a grand slam last night, one of two grand slams in a 14-4 rout of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Great night at Pete Taylor Park. Coach Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday, and Coach, I know you must have a big smile on your face today with the way that these guys hit the baseball last night.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a great game, coming off a great weekend, and awesome atmosphere, which, you know, we expected. Beating a really quality opponent in Alabama. So really proud of the boys, and on to the next.
Davis Gillespie, 4-5, 2 RBIs. Ben Higdon, 2 hits, 4 RBIs with a grand slam. Kyle Morrison, 2 hits, 4 RBIs with a grand slam, and Seth Smith, 3-for-3. What was it last night? Guys just locked in and just better maybe than some of the pitchers they were facing?
Yeah, you know, I think we have good players. First of all, they have good hitters. And secondly, that stuff's contagious. I mean, it really is. Just, you know, we talk about it all the time. Your energy, your effort, your compete at the plate, it's contagious. And, you know, I thought, you know, going down 2-0 in the first, we had to answer back really quick, or it may not have gone our way. And, you know, we get the double and the two-out RBI single, and after that, you know, it was on. And just great at-bats all night long.
Travis, I thought last night's plate discipline was probably some of the best that I'd seen so far from your lineup, as far as taking some pitches, you know, that were close to the zone and staying alive with foul balls and such things as that, I guess. Could you maybe speak on that and just the improvement over the first 7 games from game one to now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, we've had a really good two-strike approach all year. We've faced some real dudes, and we've faced some power stuff. We faced probably 3 guys. How many games have we played? 8 games? We probably faced 3 guys that are going to go in the top 2 rounds. And for our strikeout numbers to be, you know, as low as they are, very proud of that. And then on a midweek game, you know, you got to score runs, right? And the wind's blowing out. You got a good offense in the other dugout. You're not getting Friday, Saturday, Sunday type starter. You got to be able to score. And like I said, I'm just really, really proud of the guys.
I know that with things rolling like this, everybody will think, oh, it's easy to coach this team. But I'll tell you the difficulty going forward as I see it, Coach Creel, particularly with all these young studs that you're throwing out on the pitching mound, you give these guys opportunities to show what they've got so that they will clearly delineate themselves one from another. But I think that one of the most difficult things you guys have going forward is everybody's good. I mean, everybody appears to be making the most of the opportunities they're getting.
Yeah, I mean, last night was impressive. You know, a couple guys getting their first ever career outing in front of a packed house and delivering. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. There's a lot of depth you know, one thing I do think we have on this team is great leadership, where, you know, we have over 20 pitchers and only one can pitch at a time, and they all want to pitch. So we don't have any guys with negative attitudes or being, you know, problems in the dugout. And if we did, our leadership would handle that. So, yeah, you're right. It's a good thing. You know, I thought coming into this season, the one area that we were really improved was the pitching depth. Now, obviously, you lose JB, you lose Payne and some other guys, but I do think we're deeper on the mound for sure.
Travis, talk about Ben Higdon just a minute, the youngster that we had at the start of the show. You moved him to the leadoff spot, which I think surprised some people maybe a little bit, but obviously last night it certainly paid off. What went behind the decision to move Higdon to leadoff, which he said later on in the interview, which we'll run in its entirety later this week, that he was a leadoff hitter throughout his high school career?
Yeah, and he led off a couple games for us last year, too. You know, I think Oz wanted to make a move. I guess it was either Friday or Saturday. I really can't remember. And, you know, you look at the stats, it's easy to go, oh, Higdon's off to a bad start. But if you actually watch the at-bats and look at the quality at-bats and look at the exit velos, yeah, great at-bats, man. He just had some terrible luck. He could easily be hitting 500 right now. So, yeah, we moved him to the leadoff spot. He was hitting 091 when we moved him. But again, he's steady, he's mature. You know, he gives you a good at bat, and you know he's not going to let the results. You know, we talk about it all the time. Don't be result oriented. You can line out four times, and it's a good game, man. It's a hard game. Hitting's hard, so you got to be positive and take the positives out of what you're doing. And Higgs had great swings all year, and they're finally starting to find some holes.
And he's one of those kids too, Travis. When you're standing beside him like I was last night, you think he'd be a really nice starting linebacker for a football team. He's another,
all of our guys
he's
are like
another
that.
Big, strong yeah. dude, and you got a lot of them, don't you?
Yeah, we got some big boys. That's what I told Oz before the year. You know, you don't really know how it's going to go. I mean, you got a pretty good feeling. I'm like, I'll tell you one thing, we're going to scare people when they get in that box because we got some big dudes, big muscles, they can hit the ball far.
Coach Creel, physically, what do you look for in a leadoff guy? And more important to me, mentally, what do you look for in a leadoff hitter?
Yeah, I think, you know, physically, obviously, you don't want a guy who strikes out a lot. You know, you want bat-to-ball skills. This lineup's a little unique where we don't probably have, like, a true leadoff hitter in most people's eyes, like a Dalton McIntyre, Jake Cook, Matt Edsel-style player. So, yeah, you know, Higdon, again, I just go back. I want as many quality at-bats as we can in that spot. And he's got great plate discipline. He's really tough against – you know, the vast majority of different style of pitchers we'll face. And he'll just give you a good, mature, you know, quality at bat. And if he does that, you know, he'll stick there for a while.
And the reason I ask about the mental part of it is because, though it was youth baseball, I always heard from guys, I'll bat, if I have my choice, I'll bat anywhere, but I do not want the leadoff, the leadoff spot. So I guess there's a mental part of that leadoff spot too, yeah?
Yeah, you know, and some guys definitely don't like it for whatever reason. My whole thought is, you're only the leadoff hitter one time. You know, you're only the leadoff hitter of the game once, and then after that, it's just a regular lineup. So, yeah, there is a little mental barrier. Some guys, you know, get a little locked up when they hit leadoff. But, you know, I think our candidates are basically, you know, Stelly, Smith, Higdon, and Urban are probably the four most reasonable candidates to do that, and they've all done it before, so they're all comfortable with it.
Travis, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on just overall defensively for your team so far during the season. I know there's been some hiccups in that middle infield, of course, to be expected when you're replacing so much, but I guess your overall thoughts on defense.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. You know, opening weekend, I wouldn't make an error to that last out in the ninth. Mm-hmm. And then another errorless game at Southeastern. You know, Round Rock, we made a couple errors, and they were more just bad decisions than actual, you know, tangible, doing things tangibly, whether it was with your body or with your glove or throwing errors, anything like that. It was more just kind of decisions on hops. You know, playing on a grass and dirt field, it does take a little bit of getting used to the, you know, we talk about hop selection, which hop we're picking in the infield all the time. So, yeah, overall, I'm pleased. You know, last night, that was a tough one in the first.
Right.
And that the second one that we threw away on a double play, you know, LeBron ran really hard to second and slid into Morris and in a very clean way, and made it a tough and kind of redirected that throw. So overall, you know, pretty satisfied. Obviously, always want to improve and get better, but you know, I think we're on the right track.
And we should point out, it's not like they were playing St. Mary's School for the Blind last night. They were playing a regional Alabama baseball team. And, Coach, let's just be honest. It really was no contest after the first inning.
Yeah, I don't think Oz would agree. But, it was good. I mean, yeah, we swung the bats really well. You know, our pitchers just pounded the strike zone, especially those new guys that – came in. I thought the game, two game changing plays were when Armistead came in and yep. got those three yep. outs, yep. and then obviously Morrison's grand slam.
Right. We're talking to Travis Creel on the heels of an incredible 10-run rule win last night over the Alabama Crimson Tide. Louisiana Tech up next. Travis knows a lot about that school, as does everyone on the Southern Miss staff. We'll talk about that. Reminisce a little more, I guess, about this great start and look ahead. Southern Miss Baseball today on the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Opening segment of the show was sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to go eat a good meal or cater your next event or get Kelly's favorite, soft serve ice cream and cream spinach.
Breakfast of champions, baby.
Only at Dickey's Barbecue. This segment sponsored by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West, and that's where our buddy Matt Warren and his staff sell premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company. They're family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire West. They're big Southern Miss fans, as I'll bet Coach Travis Creel can attest to. Matt Warren is a Southern Miss guy, right, Coach?
I saw him in the stands last night pulling a song.
Yeah,
he sure was.
There we go. All right, Coach. So comment on the start before we move on to Louisiana Tech. Is 7-1 now? Is that not correct? 7-1, and you really guys, you guys have not played an easy opponent. I guess as a coach, you couldn't be much happier right now.
I would also say you guys might not have even played your best game yet, and you still are 7-1.
Yeah, against good opponents. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting part is just finding different ways to win. Right. I mean,
right.
We've won 3-1. We've won 8-7. We've won 14-4 or whatever last night was. So. Yeah, and yeah, absolutely, Bob. You know, from a scheduling standpoint, I think this is probably the toughest, you know, first eight we've played since I've been here. I mean, I think. And then obviously it leads on even more with a challenging series this weekend and Mississippi State next Tuesday. So, yeah, really, really proud.
And to further that point, I mean, you got these freshmen that we alluded to in that first segment that under normal circumstances wouldn't know whether to go horseback or wind their wristwatch, and all they do is go in there against guys like LeBron, who's supposed to be one of those top picks, and
strike him out.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's just
12
not normal.
Twelve last night.
That's
Kelly.
Just not normal.
12 strikeouts last night.
Yeah.
Littleton was fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, Littleton was good. Travis, I wanted to ask you. Kyle told us after the game that his bat somehow failed the bat test or whatever. Not sure all the story behind that, but yeah. He couldn't find another bat, so then he used Ben Higdon's, and Higdon told him. Can you just kind of fill our listeners in on that story? It was really, really good, really funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if y'all know this. Before every game, both teams' bats are tested. one for like dents and stuff, but also the PSI level to be sure it's not too hot. And obviously over time, bats just, they get too hot and we throw them out. And Kyle's failed last night, and his is kind of unique because he swings a 33.5-inch bat, and we didn't have any more. So he had to change bat lengths last night, and he used Higgs 34. I think he choked up a little bit and hit a grand slam, so pretty awesome.
And they both hit a grand slam.
That's true.
I asked Kyle, I said, are you going to be using Higdon's bat for the rest of the season? He said, I might have to check that one out a couple more times.
I'm sure Alabama said, let's recheck that bat.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, Travis, you moved to really familiar territory this weekend, three-game set over at Louisiana Tech. I mean, you know, if you were a casual observer and you looked at what Southern Miss has been doing, you would say, oh, this will be an easy weekend for the Southern Miss club, but probably not the case, right?
No, I mean, obviously a really, really good team, Louisiana Tech, a really tough place to play. The place is going to be packed out and rocking, and, you know, I coached there for 3 years. Believe me, they don't love us over there, so it'll be rowdy. It'll be fun. And obviously, you know, Coach Burrows over there does a great job, and he'll have them ready to play and ready to go. So really, really good premier college baseball series this weekend.
Let's be honest, Coach. Nobody in the Sun Belt much likes us when it comes to baseball.
It's a little different over there. I'm just telling you.
They don't even like us, let alone love us.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, it's great that they're coming into the Sun Belt, though, that we're going to see this series every year, right? Like, I think that's just really good for the fans. If anybody's on Twitter, watching the Twitter war this week between Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss, it's always fun to watch that, too.
Well, you say we hope because we don't get to play Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Coach, we were talking about that before the show. We've been really fortunate, knock on wood, to be injury-free. For the most part, we see where Coastal has lost their front two pitchers for 8 weeks.
That's terrible.
Injuries are just so crucial. And is there anything from a coaching perspective that you can do to try to ward them off and keep that bug away from your squad?
I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, your pre-throw routine, your post-throw routine, stuff you do in the weight room, stuff you do in the training room. But at the end of the day, you can do everything right and something could happen. So, yeah, it's terrible for them. I really did hate it. Flukie's a special arm. Hayden Johnson's really good. And then they lost Carbone, one of their best bullpen arms for the season. So, terrible for them. Hope those guys get back and healthy.
Ben Higdon told me last night that the coaching staff just does a great job of keeping everything level, that you guys just do not allow them to get too high, too low, look too far ahead. It's always the next game, the next game. Does that get increasingly difficult when you're on a run like this?
I mean, I don't think so. You know, I think, you know, our main job is to keep those guys, you know, level-headed and confident. Like, I think that's our most important job as coaches, to be sure that they're confident but not cocky. And for us, it's pretty simple. You show up and you're the same person every day. You know, whether you lose, whether you win, whether it's game day, whether it's you're playing SEC team, whether you're playing whoever, just be the same person every day and be consistent, and I think the players will kind of feed off of that.
Travis, can you comment a little? I mean, there were some big upsets last night in the Sun Belt with Arkansas State beating Arkansas, Georgia State over Georgia Tech, and a couple others. That's just so great for the league. I mean, you obviously want your league to be, you know, good. You want your league to be competitive against those Power Four teams that are ranked high in the rankings.
Yeah, it's huge. It's big. You know, it's all about, you know, your league RPI is all based how you do non-conference, right? Because once you get in the conference play, it all kind of washes. So winning those non-conference games is huge. Arkansas State going into Fayetteville, it's awesome. Mike Silva, a good buddy of mine, killing it over there, doing a great job. And they didn't just beat them. They looked them pretty good. Yep. They got them again today. So be interesting to see that one.
And, you know, you were talking about you really can't do anything to ward, to guarantee that nobody's going to get hurt. But the Eagles, through the recruiting process, Bob, have defended themselves really the only way you can against injuries, and that's depth.
Right?
If two or three guys go down, you've got two or three other guys on the backside. Right. And really, so far from what we've seen of this pitching staff in its entirety, that's the best way to defend against injuries, is just have 17 more guys can go in there and be effective.
Coach, I don't think I've ever seen this much depth on a Southern Miss baseball team. Is that an exaggeration?
Yeah, I think the pitching staff – you know, it's pretty close. That 22 pitching staff is pretty special and deep. But yeah, this one, it's a little different because a lot of the depth is young, is youth. And, you know, as y'all know and we know, and it's everywhere in the country, you know, freshmen can be inconsistent at times and look really good at times. But I thought it was awesome that I've got those guys in the game last night. And, you know, you're going into Alabama on a Tuesday in a packed house, and you want to do everything you can to win, but you also need to get these guys in. And fortunate for us, we did both, which was huge.
Yeah. One last comment before we let you go. Southern Miss baseball fans are like the postman, Kelly. Rain, shine, sleet, hail, it doesn't matter. It was cold there last night, and it was like a playoff atmosphere, wasn't it, Coach?
It really was. It was rocking. I wasn't that cold. I had about 6 layers of clothes on top and bottom. But yeah, it was rocking. They were in it the whole game, and once he hit that grand slam, man, the place was going wild.
And where Coach Creel had things on him, there were a lot of fans in the stands that had things in them that helped them.
Not at a Southern Miss baseball.
No,
sorry
about that.
You're mistaken. We have a very humble.
I'm sorry about
very
that.
Humble, quiet fan base.
I did misspeak.
Coach, thank you very much for your time. Coach, I'm trying to stay calm, but I'm having a hard time with this now.
Oh, my gosh.
He needs one of those shirts that says, like, stay calm and, you know, rock on or eagle on or something like that.
One game at a time, Bob. One game at a time.
I know. That's the second coach that said that to me here in 24 hours.
We're not even out of February yet, Bob.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Congratulations, and we look forward to having you back next week.
All right, thank you.
Travis Creel, everybody. I can't help it.
I can. I know.
No, I can't help it. It's exciting, isn't it, Dima?
Sure.
Well, listen to Dima. He's the journalist now.
Yeah, they got a long season. There's a lot that needs to go right, but it's a good start.
Especially against that schedule.
Yeah. We talked about it in the beginning of the season. When we looked at the schedule, we said, man, if we could just come out of that, or if they could just come out of that 500, what are they? They're 7-1, right?
Well, it's exactly what we said. Yeah. If they could come out of next Tuesday night, 500, we would feel great about it.
Well, they're going to come out like 900.
And the way that you look at the community, the way it's responding to one of the local eateries in town, who I do trivia for on a week, they called and said, we have to cancel trivia tonight because we've had calls from a bunch of Alabama people and Southern Miss people that could not get tickets. Mm-hmm. So we're revamping all of our TVs because all the Alabama and Southern Miss people are coming here to watch that game for people who couldn't get tickets. So even as good as we thought this team was going to be, the excitement for this team even continues to mushroom.
And I would say next week you're probably going to see the same thing. And I'm not looking past Louisiana Tech, but next week's game, 80-degree high, low of 60, a perfect night for baseball, sunshine, and a potential top 10 matchup at the Pete.
Well, in 2 weeks
Two weeks.
Check with that manager later today and see how many of them Alabama people threw up their chicken wings about the fifth inning. Can you do that,
Kelly? I'll be surprised if any of them paid for their meal.
All right, we'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Third segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds manages that great facility, and it's a great place for baseball and softball training. It is official. We haven't done it yet, but very soon we're going to be adding a new sponsor to the show that you and I know very, very well. Marty Vick and Cindy Vick and at Jewel Master. Are there two better people in the world, Kelly?
No, but I ask Cindy every time, what do you see in him?
I know it is hard to believe.
Yeah.
pretty hard.
Whatever.
Cindy's smart, friendly, beautiful, and then there's Marty.
Whatever melts your butter.
Then there's Marty, right? Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. All right, men on basketball on the floor again last night. And, guys, this is what's so frustrating. They lost a pretty close game. They were so competitive. They fought so hard during the game. But Give us a synopsis, Kelly. Didn't turn out in the end.
They even led in the second half. After trailing at half, you know, it took a 4-5 point lead. But what has dogged them all year long are these streaks of scoreless periods. In the last 3 minutes of the game, they scored one free throw in the last 3 minutes. So the lead evaporated. The two things that haunted them last night, that betrayed them, are things that they've done generally pretty well throughout the season. The men turned it over, which is starting to be a problem now. This last week or so, had a lot of turnovers this past weekend, turned it over again last night, and then they couldn't make free throws. They have been so good shooting free throws throughout the year, and barely 50% last
night. And how many free throws did Arkansas State
shoot? Arkansas State made 35 free throws. Four Southern Miss Eagles fouled out in that game last night. And this is my only beef with college basketball, is these officials. I know it gets a little chippy in there. I know it gets a little rough. But people don't pay money to watch teams sit there and shoot free throws.
Right.
You know, let them play. And Arkansas State was in the double bonus with about 6 minutes left to go in the game. And that's just really, I mean, when every time you get touched, you're going to get to shoot two free throws. And four of Southern Miss's key guys got fouled out of the game. In fact, Brewer Carruth was not even scheduled to play because of a nagging injury. They had to put him in just to fill out, you know, a team on the floor, because four of the Eagles had fouled out. And again, sometimes I'd rather lose by 100 than to lose by 4 points. And that was a game that if they were going to be able to even have a remote chance of getting that sixth seed now in the tournament, that just went out the window.
Damaging Dema in the respect of trying to get as best seed as you can.
Definitely. No doubt. You know, it drops them to 8-9 overall, and you have a really tough road game on Friday night against South Alabama, who's one of the better teams in the league. So you would think that they would not be favored to win that game. So then you drop to 8-10. I mean, there's a chance, because of how jumbled up the standings are, they could slip all the way into the 12th, 13th seed in the tournament.
Which would mean what?
A death nail.
Which would mean that you'd have to win 8 games or something like that. You know,
no one's going to do that.
No.
Really, the thing that stood out to me from last night, 29 turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't turn the ball over 29 times. The fact that they were even have a chance to win that game is incredible. With 29 turnovers on the road.
That Arkansas State shot made 35 free throws. So how many did they attempt?
46.
Okay.
That is unbelievable.
46 free throw attempts, and that's just Arkansas State.
So that's why the game lasted 3.5 hours, because there were so many, you know, free throw attempts.
Yeah, I mean, a normal college basketball game will go between 1 hour and 50 and 2 hours and 5 minutes. It was 3 hours on the button last night. I mean, that's just unacceptable.
But I mean, you can't turn the ball over 29 times and expect to win. I mean, if they do that at home, you're not winning.
And I'll tell you something else. And I'll tell you something else. College basketball in general needs to wrap its mind around. It's all these times now the referees go to the monitor to check this out. And last night they called a flagrant foul, and albeit it was against Arkansas State, but it was 2 minutes after the foul occurred that they didn't even call the foul. And they go back and check the monitor for a play that happened 2 minutes ago, and then they go back 2 minutes earlier and call a flagrant on an Arkansas State guy that they didn't even call a regular foul on to begin with. But time after time going to the monitor and oh my gosh.
And those were two big free throws that Isaac Tavares missed right there. That was a chance, you know, I think it was a 2-point
to
game.
Get back within
and
two,
Arkansas State was about to shoot for two free throws, but they gave Southern Miss two free throws, which would have made it a 2-point game with less than a minute to go. And Southern Miss had the ball, and he missed both of them. And then the Golden Eagles turned the ball over, and Arkansas State got fouled, and that was it.
So the Eagles had the opportunity to win that game.
With 29 turnovers, they still should have probably won.
They just didn't execute in the last 2.5 minutes, and Arkansas State made the free throws. 35 out of 46, Bob.
All right, so South Alabama's
36
next.
Out of 46.
Yeah, 36.
South Alabama's next Friday night.
Yes.
All right, the ladies play tonight.
They do. They're on the road as well.
They're at South Al.
Yeah, now their road schedule is a little bit more favorable in that where the South Al men are pretty good, the South Alabama women have struggled. So when it comes to seeding in the tournament, the women's picture looks more rosy than the men's does at this point, because they do play on the road, the women, at South Al, and then they finish at Louisiana Monroe. But both of those teams are by far in the lower third of the standings. So those are road wins, particularly with the way the Eagles are playing. Despite injuries, the Lady Eagles are playing pretty well. If they can get both of those, they might have an out, probably maybe a seven seed, the way that other teams have emerged.
Well, they would tie the sixth seed with a win tonight against Old Dominion. So I think right now, if you're Southern Miss, you're like all women's basketball, you're rooting for Old Dominion to lose. And here's their schedule: at James Madison, at App State. So two tougher games there. Anytime you play on the road, it's tough. You know, so if Old Dominion were to lose tonight and Southern Miss wins, they would be tied at 8-9. But the Golden Eagles beat Old Dominion on the road. That was their like one only conference road win in that overtime game in Norfolk, which could determine the sixth seed for the Lady Eagles. So if you were to beat South Alabama tonight and Old Dominion lose, you would then have the sixth seed. Now, what would happen after that, you still have to see, but that is something to monitor.
And here's something, Bob, that I know will send you off the edge.
Oh God!
The two hottest teams in the Sun Belt Conference for men and women is guess who?
James Madison.
That's right.
It's James Madison.
The James Madison men and the James Madison women are both.
What is the secret sauce up there?
Money, money, money. I think
ABBA.
In the 70s. Well, we've talked all season long that it really, the regular season doesn't necessarily matter. It's how you're playing these last 2 weeks. Yeah. And the Monarchs have steadily been moving up in the standings, which is going to improve their seedings.
Yeah, they've won like six in a row, which is crazy because they were terrible.
Yeah.
The men, at least, were terrible to start the season.
But our women are in a little better shape tournament-wise right now
than
the men.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if they could get that one tonight at South Owl and Old Dominion loses, they have the sixth seed in their pocket.
And honestly,
it would be theirs to lose at that point.
2 weeks ago, I would not have thought that. I would have thought the men would have wound up with a better seed. But now it looks like the women, and again, that sixth seed, that magical sixth seed.
All right, can I throw both of you guys a curveball from Wrightville?
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to start with you and then Damon.
Uh-oh.
So I had a listener ask me this last night. Bob, if the football team next year loses to Tulane and the former coach, how devastating will that be for the program, Kelly?
Well, I will quote the famous actor Homer Simpson when he says,
"This is Kelly's idea of a famous actor, by the way."
Oh! It won't be good.
What do you say, Dima?
Who are you going to quote?
I don't know. It's funny because like
that could happen.
The problem is they probably will lose, and I think that's what's kind of the just because it's just a difference in football right now with Tulane being just came off a playoff run. They're gonna have a lot back from that team. I've called it the darkest day on Twitter. Southern Miss Twitter is going to have a tough time with that.
Yeah, but beheadings in the Middle East have nothing on this.
So
apparently,
somebody, the guy that approached me last night, he's been thinking about it. I
think all Southern Miss fans are thinking about that.
And he made a great point. He said, "Bob, with all due respect to the coaches, their program is just way ahead of ours right now."
Right, and that's what I'm meaning by like Southern Miss probably will lose. Like their program is just so much ahead that it would take a really good performance by a
So what will that say about the former coach?
I don't know. I will say, let's remember the last time Will Hall faced Southern Miss.
Yeah,
he was at Tulane.
Was it 66?
66-24.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was bad.
And you always think that you're better the second time around. I mean, we've talked about this before. He learned. You got to learn from your mistakes. And he made some mistakes and hires and whatnot that you would think that he would not repeat again.
This is not really what you want to be hit with out of the blue by a guy that comes up and says, "Bob, can I ask you a question?" Sure, of course you can. I thought it was about baseball. And he hits me with this, and I was kind of like you, Kelly. I was like,
Well, the thing is, I think it's actually good for Southern Miss is that is the fourth non-conference game where you're going to have three games to kind of work out some kinks and stuff like that. So it's not like it would be crazy if that was the first game, right? Like at Tulane opening weekend.
Did you want to make an early season prediction?
It's baseball season, Bob.
That was a pretty good Ralph Cramden you did there, though, Bob. The hamana, hamana.
Hamana, hamana, hamana.
Hamana.
We'll be back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, MCS Home Center, and I'm delighted to say that I got to spend some time last night with the owner of that fine establishment, Hank Lott. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. They're on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And Kelly, you have made Peepers famous, according to Hank Lott.
Peepers reading glass sales at MCS are through the roof.
It's because of your endorsement.
America is catching on, although...
And it's funny because the one person who created that to happen, he didn't spend a dime on those peepers.
No, absolutely not a nickel.
Well,
in fact, they were hand-delivered in the middle of the show to this station.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, this coming from a kid named Mixon. He doesn't know anything about privilege. sorry about that. Yeah, a kid named Mixon knows nothing about a silver spoon. But anyway...
He's a real sometimes
a bee.
As good as the peepers are at
MCS
Peeping?
Home Center, Kelly.
Yeah,
that's
at
who we're
seeing
talking about.
What you're looking at.
Do they see construction in Reed Green Coliseum yet?
No. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Is that the next generation of glasses?
Have they helped with your crudeness?
No. And I must tell you one thing that I saw that I didn't like with my peepers.
What's that?
My tax return.
Oh, really?
It's hideous.
Is it really?
But that's not the peepers' fault.
You didn't get the Trump tax cuts?
Well, look, if anybody does right with taxes, it's my people. You know, Bob, the tax firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
Right.
I mean, I had no idea that dog grooming was tax deductible.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't even have a dog.
I think that's the IRS pulling up.
By the way, real quick, Hank didn't want you to know he is trying his best to find you some pink ones. Pink peepers.
Hey.
Okay. All right, track and field had their conference tournament out in Birmingham in that beautiful facility. Here were the top eight finishes for the women events. In the mile, it was Emma Bates with the second-place finish. She also got the 300-meter fourth-place finish, Maria Kaler in the 5,000-meter seventh-place finish, high jump, fourth place, Alana Simeon. And then the 4x400, second place, Burgess, Sanders, Watson, and McLaurin with a 3:40 time. For the men in the 60 meter, Nakobe Johnson got second. Valentina Rudolph got fourth. In the 60 meter hurdle, seventh place, Meredith Thompson. In the 200 meter, first place winner, Valentina Rudolph. Fifth place winner in the 400 meter, Javiel Fullerton. 800 meter in the fourth place winner for Saxon Brown. Long jump, DeAndre Ward, first place in Sunbelt. Third place was Tyler Nichols. In the shot putt, first place, Pierce Cameron, who was on the show.
Yeah.
Triple jump, seventh place, Justin Johnson. In the weight throw, first place, Connor Mosey. Shout out Connor, good friend of mine. High jump, fourth place, Tyler Nichols. Eighth place, Tyler Hughes. 4x400, first place finishes for the Golden Eagles. Fullerton, Tanner, Thomas, and Rudolph.
Now, Valentino Rudolph that you were talking about, wasn't there a silent movie star?
I think there was, Kelly. In fact, for a second there, I thought, why is he bringing this guy up?
Actually, I think it was Rudolph Valentino instead of the other way around.
Mm. That young man was out here.
Was he?
Oh, was he?
Did he come out?
The shock putter, wasn't he?
We talked about him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Women's softball tonight down in Thibodaux, Louisiana, to take on Nicholls State, one of the few college campuses is right at sea level. I mean, if they take a little bit of rain down there, you sometimes have to take detours to get to that campus.
But they eat good.
They sure do.
Yeah, and they somehow always beat Southern Miss in baseball in Biloxi, too.
That was another thing somebody asked me last night. I'm leaving. He goes, so when do you think we're going to lose to a McNeese State? I said, we're not.
We don't even play.
LSU did. LSU lost to McNeese last night.
I mean, those little Louisiana schools are never easy.
Yeah, but I mean, when you looked at that schedule this year, it's like they don't hardly play any of those teams anymore. It's like if you're not nationally recognized, it's like Oz and them won't even schedule you.
Yeah, I mean,
anymore.
It used to be, you know, I think they do play New Orleans this season in Tulane, but it used to be a lot of those games, kind of right. like those types of games. And now you're seeing number four State, number four Bama, number whatever it is.
Well, tomorrow's show, we're going to get the answer to the million-dollar question that's been circulating around the baseball team. I did ask Seth Smith last night why every member of the team said if there was one person on the team they would never want dating their daughter. He was the unanimous choice, so we'll have that answer tomorrow.
I thought it was Kelly Santer, personally.
America wants to know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're going to be surprised by Seth's answer.
We report, you decide.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Got to get the investigative team.
Good night last night, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. Right.
And good night tonight, hopefully, with the Lady Eagles.
For
what time
sure.
is that game, guys?
5 p.m.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Eastern time, must be.
No, Central.
Really?
6 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, they must be playing on the East Coast.
No, they're in South Alabama.
Oh, wonder why they're playing at 5 o'clock.
Maybe they got a men-women's doubleheader.
Sure, yeah, that might be what it is.
Down in Mobile.
Yeah,
like when they play here in the doubleheader, they start at 5.
Ought to be more of that. Yeah. Hey, I want to thank Mobe Beignet Company and Genesis of Hattiesburg and remind you as well about our podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Are you calm now, Bob? Have you?
I've calmed down a little bit, yeah.
Until tomorrow's show.
I have never seen him so wound up about the start of this baseball team.
I don't take this very seriously, Kelly. I can live with or live
Look,
without.
On behalf of your cardiologist, you got to calm
I saw
down
him just
a little bit.
Downing several Bang energy drinks when I came in, and I was like, what are you doing?
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.